In bygone days, God was pleased to reveal his mind and his will to people through visions and dreams. He did this not only to his friends, but to his enemies. To Nebuchadnezzar, he revealed his vision and his purposes for the world at large. In like manner, here in chapter 5, he reveals to Belshazzar here, in a miraculous manner here, the impending destinations of himself and his falling empire. The effect of this revelation upon the mind of Belshazzar is described for us here in verse 6, where we're told, "Then the king's countenance was changed. His thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. His knees smote one against another." It will give occasion to many useful reflections this evening as we meditate on this portion of Scripture this evening, to consider here firstly in verse 6, Belshazzar's overwhelming fears. The surprise this evening for Belshazzar, seeing a hand writing on the wall, we can well understand this evening. But why should seeing a hand writing on the wall cause such terror and fear on the part of Belshazzar? After all, he could not interpret the writing on the wall. He had no reason to be dismayed on that account. Oh, but this evening, on the part of Belshazzar, conscience which had been so long silenced by him speaks now as never before. Is Belshazzar's conscience here in verse 6 that causes here the king's loins to be loosed and his knees to shake together? You see, we may seek to drown the voice of conscience for a season, but sooner or later, we will have to listen to it, as Belshazzar does here. It will speak in a manner that will cause the hardest sinner to hear. Everyone must listen to it at last. The longer we delay in responding to its overtures, the greater its reproaches will be. That is why, and many who continue to resist the voice of conscience, they're driven to the depths of despair. They're full of depression and gloom. The future holds nothing for them. They know not where to turn. That is why this evening, as you talk to the doctors, their surgeries are full of people with mental problems, with conscience that are disturbed. That is why counselors this evening have a waiting list of people wanting to see them. People who are full of gloom and despair. Young people in this meeting this evening, listen this evening to your conscience. Listen to its every whisper this evening. Obey the voice of your conscience. And as you listen to your conscience, and as you obey your conscience, you will discover that it will turn out to be your kindest friend. Ignore your conscience this evening, and it will turn out to be your bitterest foe. We see here, secondly, Belshazzar's anxious inquiries. Verse 7, he says, "Bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the magicians." Brings them in that he might inquire of them the meaning of the writing on the wall. And we discover, as the magicians and the soothsayers and the astrologers, as they come before the king, as they have this great promise before the king of what will be given to them if they interpret the writing on the wall, we find they are unable. They are unable to interpret the writing on the wall. And what is happening here is reminiscent of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, his father, a generation before. The queen hears of the situation. The queen comes in. The queen, concerned for the king, says to the king in verse 10, "O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed." And for the first time here, the queen introduces Belshazzar here to one Daniel, who in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, his father, was able to interpret dreams. Oh, at last there's light at the end of the tunnel as far as Belshazzar is concerned. Here is a man that the queen tells him has the vision of the gods, a man who was taken by his father out of Jewry. Daniel is summoned. Daniel is brought in. We see here what lengths sinners are prepared to go to when conscience calls them to its bar. We see here that a despised, a forgotten, a rejected Daniel, Daniel who was so highly proclaimed in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, his father, has now been long forgotten. Ah, but here now, when Belshazzar is reminded of the possibilities of what Daniel can do, he's only too glad to hear from this despised, rejected servant of God in whose judgment he can trust. Unconverted in this meeting this evening, you this evening need no Daniel to give you this evening an interpretation this evening of your spiritual state, of your standing before God. Turn this evening to the Word of God. Turn this evening to the Scriptures of truth. And what do you discover this evening as you turn to the Scriptures? You find this evening that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Oh, turn this evening prayerfully to the Word of God. And God will not only reveal himself through his Word, but by his Word, by his Spirit, he will illuminate your mind to see your need of him. Not only is there a word of condemnation to the sinner in the Scripture, but there's a word of commendation. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Scripture shows himself as the one who went all the way to Calvary. There at Calvary paid the price for your redemption and mine. For you tonight who know not the Savior. Oh, for you tonight who up until this moment in time has spurned God's offer of mercy. God stands in his congregation this evening. He says tonight, "Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He offers pardon and peace and forgiveness this evening through the blood of the cross. He is the one this evening who knew no sin but became sin for you. He's the one who paid the debt for your sin at the cross at Calvary. He is the one who was wounded for your transgressions. We see here that the instruction given by Daniel to Belshazzar had no effect upon his stubbornness. Look here, he listens in verse 22 to the instructions of Daniel. Daniel says to him, "And thou, his son, Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this." He listens not only to the instructions of Daniel here in verse 22, but he listens to the reproofs of Daniel here in verse 23. "Thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. They have brought the vessels of his house before thee. Thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of gold and of silver, gold and of brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not nor hear." He sets before Belshazzar here his utter neglect of Jehovah. Think of it for a moment this evening. The vessels that were taken out of the temple at Jerusalem, now being desecrated in this drunken manner by Belshazzar, his lords, his wives, and his concubines. Daniel reminds him that the very breath that he breathes is coming from God. That his hand, his life is in the hand of God. Verse 23. "These vessels are now being profaned in a most drunken manner. The gods of gold, of silver, of wood and stone are being exalted above the God of heaven." Daniel proceeds here to interpret the writing on the wall. Tells Belshazzar here that his kingdom is coming to an end. Tells Belshazzar here, as far as he is concerned, Belshazzar, he is finished. What effect does all of this have on Belshazzar here? We hear not one word of humiliation on the part of the king. He does not, like Ahab of old, humble himself in sackcloth and ashes. He does not, like the Ninevites, proclaim a fast. He does not, like Herod of old, say, "I have sinned." He does not ask the prophet here to intercede on his behalf. We see here that despite Belshazzar's fear, despite his trembling, despite sending for Daniel being so anxious to hear the interpretation on the writing on the wall, we find in Daniel here no repentance, no turning to God, no godly sorrow for sin, no cries for mercy, but one here who's totally given over to a reprobate mind. It has been my experience that at times when you're asked to visit someone who's very ill in hospital, maybe terminally ill, and you visit that individual and you find in their condition they recognize their need of God, they're more receptive to the gospel. They're more open to what you've got to say. They want to hear the word of God. They recognize on their part if something goes wrong here, they're unprepared to meet God. They're receptive to the claims of the gospel. And then, by and by, God graciously intervenes on their behalf, restores them to health and strength. You visit, and I have done it, you visit that individual again in their home. Health has been restored to what it once was. You find the interest they had in the gospel in the time when they were so ill is no longer there. They're now spurning God's offer of mercy. You see, what I'm saying this evening, unconverted in this meeting, that without a genuine turning to God, without a saving change of heart, or without genuine repentance, you'll be lost. Those of you in the congregation this evening, I'll make no mistake about it this evening, in order to be right with God, there must be a saving change of heart. In reading this account of Belshazzar here, I want us to observe this evening three things. Firstly, observe here the vanity of all earthly enjoyment. Think here this evening of this account that we have read this evening of Belshazzar, one moment with his lords, with his wives, with his concubines, in the midst of the party scene. All is well. The next moment, he's in the depths of despair. His agony of mind. He is tormented in mind and soul. We have many examples, both in Scripture and in history, of individuals in a similar situation. In Scripture, we have the rich young ruler. We have the prodigal son who goes, who wastes his substance in the far country on riotous living. In the experience of men and women this evening out of Christ on the broad road this evening, it may bring pleasure this evening, temporarily, for the here and now. But ultimately, the broad road leadeth to destruction. We see secondly here, as we read this account of Belshazzar here, the comfort this evening of a good conscience. Remember Daniel here, in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar's father, he's thrown into the den of lions. In the den of lions, he hasn't a care in the world. It's well with him. He knows in the den of lions the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Remember Peter in the Roman prison between two soldiers. Knows the peace of God. He's a happy man. Oh, tonight to have a conscience void of offense towards God and our fellow man, realizing tonight that man's chief end is to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, to lay up treasures not for the here and now, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but to lay up treasures for God's great eternity, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, realizing that in that day nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We find in the Word of God tonight the blessedness of an interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Scriptures tonight, there's not a word of condemnation to the penitent sinner. Not a word of condemnation this evening to those who have come, sought and found a Savior as their very own. Those who have been united to the Savior by faith, No condemnation. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You this evening are in our congregation this evening, who are living tonight for the here and now, who are still tonight on the broad road. Oh, tonight you would realize that that road ultimately leads to destruction. Oh, tonight you would realize that the Lord Jesus Christ stands this evening. He says tonight, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We long this evening that you'd know tonight all the peace of God this evening that passeth all understanding, that you might make your preparation for God's great eternity, that you might come to seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near. Ah, the disturbance of mind that Belshazzar has here, it's of no effect, causes no repentance. You going through gospel meeting after gospel meeting, God speaking to your heart, God challenging you as to where you stand, and yet time and time again, continuing in your wayward way, you'll be lost. What you need to do this evening is genuinely repent of your sin. You need a saving change of heart. Oh, we trust this evening, if you know not the Savior, you would turn from your sin. You would turn to seek the Lord while he is to be found. Call upon him while he is near.